It's a beautiful day, isn't it? Good to see you all. Thank you for coming. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We have been in a short series that I call A Closer Look at Salvation. For I think that most of our questions and concerns can be solved if we just take a closer look at the Word of God. And we're going to turn to this scripture. I'm only going to really cover one verse, verse 17, in preparation for communion. And actually, I'm not even going to cover that whole verse because I wouldn't have time to cover it. Just the last nine words of that verse will be enough, and we'll see how much of that we can cover. Let me read verse 17 to you. I'll read it out of the Amplified Version, and that's on the screen up there. In this, and of course we have to stop and say, what does he mean? In what? In this. Now you back up a couple of verses, I'll read it. If I back up to say verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, would you confess that today? Do you confess that today? Do you believe that today, that Jesus is the Son of God? God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So when we're talking here, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, in this, in what? In the union that we have with God. God in us, us in God. Hold on to that. In this union and fellowship with him, love is completed and perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. Underscore that last few words, that last nine words. Put a star by that. Highlight that. That is, well, there's no greater truth I could emphasize as we prepare for communion than what is presented to us by the Word of God right here regarding our salvation. As he is, so are we in this world. If you understand this revealed fact of our position in Christ, that'll make every day, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost, all rolled into one. You'll just get excited and say, well, glory to God. And so the title of my message is Becoming What We Are. As he is, so are we in this world. How many of you would raise your hand and say that you're as righteous as I am? Everybody ought to say that. You're as righteous as Chuck Steiner. That's no difficulty. How many would say that you're as righteous as Mother Teresa? Well, let's say Billy Graham. How many would raise your hand and say, I'm as righteous as Billy Graham? Well, there would be fewer that would raise their hand. How many would raise their hand and say, I'm as righteous as Jesus Christ? There would not be very many hands going. That would seem presumptuous to us. But listen to what God says. As he, that's Jesus, is, so are we in this world. I'm going to park on that. I'm taking a closer look at salvation. Let me encapsulate it this way. We've been talking about justification. When you come to realize Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, you're justified. Justification, immediately, you're justified immediately in your spirit. God's spirit moves back into your spirit. You're put back into where God created you to be, his spirit in you. We're sanctified progressively in our soul. As we begin to learn how to let the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in us live through us. That's a lifelong process. We're justified immediately in our spirit, progressively in our soul. We're redeemed ultimately and eventually in our body. In other words, as Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit and soul be preserved blameless. There's not a whit that the devil's going to get. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you are his. And you're justified immediately. Sanctified progressively. And you know someday, ultimately, whatever happens, God's not even through with your body. The whole bunch of you is going to be redeemed before it's all over. So it's the middle part of that that I'm talking about today as we take a closer look at salvation. As God is, so are we. God in you, you in God. We just read that in these preceding verses. I'm titling this, Becoming What You Are. And that's the process, the Holy Spirit, to teach you how to get out of the way and let the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected life of Christ, live through you. Now, that's what we call theologically a positional truth. I mean, that's our union with Christ. That's our identification in Christ. That's a positional fact. God reveals that, right? Do you understand that? As he is, so are we. Not will be, are be, in this present world. This is what we're celebrating when we come to the communion table. So, what our life is about at this point is not trying to be justified. We're already justified. Our struggle in life now is to learn how to get out of the way and let the Lord Jesus Christ be Lord, the resurrected life of Christ in us, through us. As he is, so are we. And how in the world is that going to be? The positional truth is we are as he is right now. The practical reality is, so are we in this world. Are you? Are you? We're going to talk about that. For instance, the word tells us in 1 Corinthians 5:21, we sang that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we'd have the righteousness of God. For us, in him, we have the righteousness of God. Underscore that. He was for us that we might be in him. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about union. Don't get confused with this concept. The Holy Spirit will make this plain to you today. It'll be simple because he'll make it understandable to you today. Our union with Christ, everything we have in God, all the blessings we have are in Christ. Everything that God does for us on the basis of the atonement, the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not because you're such a good attender in church or you're such a good Sunday school person or you live so, it's nothing of that. It's because we're in him as he is. God sees us as he is right now, so are we in this vile, perverted, polluted world that we live in. So what I want to take some time to talk about how. How does that happen? How does that become reality? How does the positional truth become practical reality to us in our life? So I'm going to mention a couple of things. First of all, to establish this matter of our union with, or our union in God, I should say, our union in Christ. We already talked about it here in 1 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Three quick Bible references. First of all, death. God hath made him to be sin for us. That happened at Calvary. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't wait to come to God when you make yourself good enough. You can't make yourself good enough. He didn't come to save the good. He came to save the lost. If you're here today and you're unsaved, you don't know God, you don't know Jesus Christ, He died for you already. He paid the penalty for your sin. He demonstrated that He loves you by Calvary. We're going to celebrate that in the communion. The communion service just really memorializes what God has already done. It is not the elements that save you. It's what they represent, Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That's what we come today, and we celebrate that fact. The point is, the truth is that His death before God had my name on it. His death has your name on it. And when Jesus Christ died, I died. And when Jesus Christ came alive, His resurrection life is in me, I came alive spiritually when I received the Lord Jesus Christ. He took my sin that I might have His righteousness. He took my guilt that I would have His innocence. He took my despair that I could have His joy. We're going to go through and elaborate that. He took my shame that I would have His glory in His name. He took my punishment that I could have His pardon. That's what we're celebrating in communion. Wonderful. So not only are we united with Him, union with Him in His death, but in His resurrection. For God's word says in Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with Him in baptism. Therefore we're buried with Him through baptism. Let me mention something to you. If every time in the Bible you hear the word baptism, you think of water, you're going to be wrong about a dozen times. This is not water baptism we're talking about here. This is something that happens before that. This is spirit baptism. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that we're baptized. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. That happens when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not subsequent to that. It happens at that moment when the Holy Spirit takes you out of Adam and places you into Christ. That's the spirit. That's real baptism. Water baptism is ritual baptism. It's important, but it's not essential to salvation. Some years back, my wife and I called on a person in the hospital. The lady's name was Mrs. Long. What a paradox, because she was about that tall. She was not long. And her husband was in the hospital. But, well, they were raised down south. I mean, this is like 60 years ago or so, maybe even longer than that at this point. Well, you know what they did down south. They grew tobacco and they smoked tobacco. It's just what they did. It's their life, livelihood. Well, he was a smoker. They moved north, and somehow she received Christ as Savior, wonderfully born again, loved the Lord. And while I was at her church, she was a great, consistent Christian, but he was not saved. Came time for him, he went to the hospital. He had serious cancer. He was on his deathbed. I gave him the gospel and said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? He said, I'd like to, but he says, I got this problem with cigarettes, smoking. See, somehow he got the idea that that would keep him from heaven. I said, no, listen. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And smoking won't keep you from heaven. It might get you there a little quicker, but it won't keep you from there if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's the blood, not the baptism in the water. It's the blood. Suppose a person was out there in the street and got hit by a Mack truck and you give them the gospel and they want to get saved. Well, if you couldn't baptize them in water, what would you do? No, he'd be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You give him the gospel, he receives Christ as a Savior, and he could be saved in that very last moment. He would be baptized, and that's what we're talking about here. Water baptism is a picture of what's going on here. Okay? So we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We're identified with Christ in his resurrection. The new life is his resurrected life in you that happens when you receive Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes in and represents Christ and is Christ's life through you. That's right, I want to get on now. You also were united with him. We're talking about the union that we have. This is the positional truth that God revealed. It's not difficult. It's not inscrutable. It's a matter that God's revealed it, and you say, amen, hallelujah, thank God. I can't hardly believe it, but I do believe it because you said it. It's in your word. We're identified in his death. We're identified in his resurrection. By the way, when he died at Calvary 22,000 years ago, what it was, how many sins had you committed? Well, you weren't alive. How many sins did he die for? All the sins. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their sins against them. Can you get that in your heart and say amen, glory to God? Why? Because when you get saved, some people think, well, all right, God has saved me. Now I got to keep myself saved. If I sin, then I got to go back and no. He took care of all the finished works of Christ. That ought to get an amen in the Bible church. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Okay, and I'm identified with him in his victory. In his victory. At the Calvary, you have to understand, at Calvary, the Lord had victory over the devil, over sin, over death and the grave. John 12:31. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. He's already defeated. The Lord is already victorious. The devil just doesn't know it yet. He'll be a grand awakening when the Lord comes back. So Satan was overcome at Calvary. Now listen. John 4:4. Children, you dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. In other words, I have the overcomer in me. He's already overcome. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So that just leads us to the message. Because I know that I'm looking at a bunch of people who, though you have union with Christ, though you have died to sin, you still are daily defeated by sin. Though you have union with Christ, he's already the victor, he's the overcomer, and you live weakly, not overcoming, but being overcome. And I'm telling you, it's a matter of your thinking. And you need to let the Holy Spirit bring this clarity to your heart, and you'll take communion with a rejoicing in your heart. Not begging God for something, but thanking God for what he's done. The overcomer lives in us. That's the positional truth. How do we make this practical? The union will become personal to you and practical to you when you have communion with Christ. When I say communion, I'm not talking about these elements. You can take these elements and not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It won't do anything for you. When I'm talking about communion with Christ, daily having communion with Christ, you don't wait once a month for us to have communion for you to have communion with Christ. You might not be daily taking the bread and the wine, the symbols of communion, but you are having personal fellowship, walking with the Lord walking through you, learning how to let this life be lived out through you. It's new life. That's how our verse ends there, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We too may live in new life, a new life. Understand life, eternal life. We talked about this for the past 2 weeks. I don't know if you're getting the point or not. Listen, eternal life is not God's gift to us. It's not God's gift to us. It's the gift of God in us. Do you understand that? It's him in us. It's not length of life, more life. It's quality of life. It's where I did not have spiritual life. Now I have spiritual life. It's Christ in me Is that hard? Do you understand that? Eternal life. It's not something God gives you and you can lose. It's God in you. Wow. That's wonderful. That'll answer some questions some people have. So let's go back to 1 John 4:17 again. As he is, not as he was, and not as he will be, but as he is right now. How is Jesus right now? Where is Jesus right now? Well, he's in my heart. But I mean, when he ascended to glory, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. It's all completed. He's completed it. Are you satisfied with his work? Because that's the only work that God will ever receive. He won't receive your work. As he is, so are we. Not will be, not a hope to be, maybe someday, as he is, so are we right now. Why is that? Because God sees me in Christ and Christ in me. It's all my identification. By the way, that's what baptism is, identifying with Christ. In this world, not in the next, not in heaven. Right now, Monday through Monday, when you go to work, when you're discouraged with your kids, whatever it is, as you go through life, right now, as he is, so are we. Some of you are going to struggle with that because, you see, you have not had communion with Christ daily. How does that come about? What does that look like? All right, let me give you about four or five things as we have time for. You must understand that salvation is not you changing life. It's exchanging life. It's not you turning over a new leaf. It's for you receiving a new life, the life of Jesus Christ in you. When you understand that everything that happened to Jesus pertains to me. When you begin to practice daily walking with the Lord, communing with the Lord, you will have an exchanged life. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified. When did it happen? With Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. No longer I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, it's not my life, it's his life. It's the faith of the Son of God who loves me, gave himself for me. Hallelujah, it's an exchanged life. You will never have the changed life until you have an exchanged life. God never expected your old nature to do anything other than sin and fail. You can't do it in your effort. It'll be through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let me give you about nine things, and we'll only get to about three of them. But first of all, wisdom. As Christ is in, as he is now, so are we. And so let's take a look at this matter, wisdom. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. Wisdom from God. You say, preacher, I don't have much wisdom. Well, I beg to differ. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you have the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need your wisdom if you have his wisdom. What is that wisdom? It's to see things from God's perspective. When we have a board meeting at church here, we begin with prayer and Bible study. When there comes up a question and a decision, it's not our best thoughts. It's not our rationale. It's not because these men have great experience in life. It's because we're depending upon the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to give us direction. And we turn back to the Word of God and say, what would God say about this? It's the wisdom. That's what we're supposed to have. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Wow. Now, I'd like to preach about three sessions on that. I really would. Here's the thing. You'll have to make a decision what you put in your mind. You're not going to have the mind of God if you do not spend time daily listening to his word. Because how does the Holy Spirit communicate to us the mind of God? Through the word of God. Through the word of God. Romans 8:14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." How does the Spirit lead the children of God? John 6:63, the Lord says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing." No matter what your IQ is, no matter if you got an A, no matter if you got a 4.0, the flesh counts nothing. The words I have spoken unto you, they are spirit. They are life. Jesus said, "Abide in me and let my words abide in you." That's communing with Christ. If you wait monthly to come to this, you're missing out. It is daily our union, our position in Christ leads us to our communion, which leads to our practice. It's His Word. It's His Spirit through His Word to my spirit, my will submitted to His will, walking out His way, His Word, His example, His testimony, His illustration in my life. That's bringing the position into practice. And that's how it happens. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. Wisdom. Well, the next thing I want you to talk about is when you commune with Christ, His joy will be your joy. His joy. John 5:11 goes on to say, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you." That your joy. Where did that joy, how did that joy come to me? "These things have I spoken." Listen, did the Lord speak to your heart last week? How about on Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday? Did you wait till today? Communion. Union becomes personal when you commune with Jesus Christ, and that's through His Word. Do you have His joy today? I want to tell you, a lot of you know this. There are some sad, sad things going on in our life right now. But I've got to tell you that in my soul right now, there is unspeakable joy and a peace that cannot be explained. Where does that come from? Communion with Christ. To see things from His perspective and to want and to be joyful in His joy and His joy in me. What is His joy? Well, there's a lot of things that we can go on with about that. But Philippians 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Rejoice in the Lord. You don't always rejoice in the circumstances. Paul was in prison. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord." That's a different life, I want to tell you. That doesn't come from the old nature. When Jesus was on the way to the cross, He says, "My joy may remain in you, your joy may be full." And He was on the way to Calvary, to death, to the abuse that He was going to suffer. But still He said, you can have joy because God's will is going to be performed in you. So our text, "As He is, so are we in this world." I trust that you're experiencing that. Peace. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you." Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. That's a great comfort to me. As I go through, I don't know how you get through life without that. When people see a Christian go through what the world would say is a terrible trauma, and they come through with a tear in their eye, but a testimony in their lips of praise God, thank God His will is being performed, that speaks, that builds a credibility. That shows the reality of your union. Your position is practice. And that becomes your testimony. Do you have that? Well, I got to go on and say another couple things. Not only His wisdom and His joy and His peace, but His sorrow is to be your sorrow. His sorrows, our sorrows. Well, I'd like to have some wisdom. I'd like to have some joy. I'd like to have some peace. But I don't know about this sorrow thing. I'm not so sure I'd like to have that. Well, listen, when you come to the Lord, it's not a cafeteria. You don't get to choose. You make the big decision that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then you let Him lead in your life. And some of the paths He's going to lead you into your life is really not without pain or problems to you. It really isn't. But listen, Philippians 3:10, Paul said, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." Jesus was a man of sorrow, a man of great grief. When you commune with Christ as he is, so are we right now in this world. If Jesus were to come to Three Rivers today, he'd look at this community and he'd weep because they're lost. I think the church suffers from dry eyes. How would that be? We're not sensing and we're not seeing what Jesus sees when he looks at Three Rivers. I don't think the Lord's so impressed with our well-put-together performance on Sunday. If we're not living on Monday, if we're not seeing as he sees with passion and compassion, his sorrow will be our sorrow. His friends will be our friends. Matthew 25:40, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren. You see, what's Jesus saying? My friends should be your friends. My friends, the brethren, should be your friends. I heard about a lady in prayer meeting was praying, oh Lord, we're so glad that we're here in prayer. Wondering, there are so many people out there in the world having a good old time. Do you come and do your religious thing out of duty? Or is there a joy and a delight to be with the brethren? Dr. Vance Havner said, when I see a bird that looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, walk like a duck, swim like a duck, likes the company of ducks, I conclude it's a duck. When I see people who look like the world, love the world, would rather be with the world, I conclude. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Wow. As he is, so are we in this world. His enemies will be our enemies. John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That's so very plain and simple. The world hated Jesus, it's going to hate you. The enemies to Christ, if we're living for Christ, they will consider us enemies. We cannot be popular in a world that crucifies and rejects Christ. When you speak for the Lord, even if you speak it in love, they rejected Jesus Christ. Is a servant better than the master? Wow. I want to further say his purpose must be our purpose. For as he is, so are we in the world. Our Lord said in John chapter 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Well, now what did the Father send the Son to do? To be a great teacher? To be a great humanitarian? To be a great educator, to be a great healer, to be a great entertainer? No. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, it's a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, church, do not leave your heart. Do not leave your sensitivity to lost people. That's why we're here. That's our priority. That's our mission, and everything we do should aim to that and then discipling those that are one to the Lord. As my Father has sent me, I send you. And then Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Are you following, and are you fishing? Start easy. Just put some tracks in your pocket. Be ready to give them to somebody that needs them. Follow the Lord. His authority is our authority. There is no greater authority than his authority. I'm going to, for the next Sunday night, this Sunday night, maybe the next Sunday morning, Lord willing, I want to preach to you about this matter of government. There is no authority greater than his authority. I've given you
He says in Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations," and so forth. Our authority to speak the word is from His authority. We speak in His name. No one has authority to tell you, cannot speak. You may suffer for it. He didn't say you wouldn't suffer for it. They that live godly will suffer. In this world you shall have tribulation. They did not receive Jesus, they won't receive His servant. But He has given us the authority to speak boldly in His name. In my authority. And I want to hurry on and say that we are one with Him in His victory. As He is, so are we in this world. 1 Corinthians 15:7. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When? As He is, so are we in this world. Now the world thought they did a great thing. Devil was laughing in joy and great glee when Jesus was put to death. They thought they had defeated God. No. Hell had a holiday for a day and a half. But when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, they began to see the full orb reality of what God was doing. Some things may come into your life. They may reject your witness. They may crucify you. They may persecute you. Or you may go through death. You haven't seen the end yet. You haven't seen the end yet. His future is our future. Colossians 3:4 is when Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. Hallelujah. And these are the truths that we celebrate when we take communion. This is not a service where you pull the shades and you get dark and you play spooky organ music, you know, and everything's quiet and silent. This is a time of rejoicing and celebration if you know Jesus Christ. Because of your union, it's already settled. I'm with Christ. He's seated in the heavens. I'm in the heavens with Him. In the sight of God, it's already done. And in practice, the Lord is at work in my life, making these things a reality, bringing that position into fruition by the Holy Spirit through my life. How you doing? Father, thank You for Your word. It's wonderful, amazing. Thank You for the Holy Spirit that will teach us to any who will hear. These are hidden from the wise and prudent, but they're revealed by the Father. So I pray the Holy Spirit would reveal these, turn the light on in the minds and the hearts and the souls of people here who know You, and may they rejoice in what we're celebrating today. In Jesus' name I pray.